Shakti Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Text 31, 32, and 33. The Sages' Teachings at Kurukshetra. Sanikarsho Tramartyanam Anadharana Karanam Gangam Hitva Yatanyambas Satratyo Yati Sudhaye Sanikarsho Tramartyanam Anadharana Karanam Gangam Hitva Yatanyambas Satratyo Yati Sudhaye Sanikarsho Tramartyanam Anadharana Karanam Gangam Hitva Yatanyambas Satratyo Yati Sudhaye Sanikarsho Tramartyanam Anadharana Karanam Gangam Hitva Yatanyambas Tatrati Sudhaye Sanikarsho Tramartyanam Anadharana Karanam Gangam Hitva Yatanyambas Tatratyo Yati Sudhaye Sanikarsho Tramartyanam Anandharana Karanam Gangamitva Yatanyambas Atratyo Yati Sudhaye Arjus Sanikarsho Tramartyanam Anadharana Karanam Gangam Hitva Yatanyambas Satratya Kriti Sudhaye Sanikarsho Tramartyanam Anadharana Karanam Gangam Hitva Yatanyambas Sanikarsho Tramartyanam Anadhara Karanam Gangam Hitva Yatanyambas Satratyo Yati Sudhaye Sanikarsha, proximity. Atra, here in this world. Martyanam, for mortals. Anadharana, of disregard. Karanam, a cause. Gangam, the water of the Ganges. Pitva, leaving. Yata, as. Anya, other. Ambha, to water. Tatratya, one who lives near it. Yati, goes. Shudhaye, for purification. Translation. In this world, familiarity breeds contempt. For example, one who lives on the banks of the Ganges might travel to some other body of water to be purified. So we can do texts 32 and 33 together. Yashyanubhuti kalena layopatyadina shivai satonyasmak chagunato nakut. Tam klesh. Prana divisa vir upaguda manyo manyeta suryam eva mega upaga. Translation. The Supreme Lord's awareness is never disturbed by time, by the creation and destruction of the universe, by changes in its own qualities, or by anything else, whether self-caused or external. But although the consciousness of the personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme One without a second, is never affected by material desires, by the reactions of material work, or by the constant flow of nature's modes, ordinary persons nonetheless think that the Lord is covered by his own creations of prana and other material elements, just as one may think that the sun is covered by clouds, snow, or an eclipse. Purport. Things of this world are inevitably destroyed by one means or another. Time itself causes the eventual decay of every created being. A fruit, for instance, which may grow ripe, but then must either rot or be eaten. Some things, like lightning, destroy themselves as soon as they are manifested, while others are destroyed suddenly by external agents, as a clay pot is by a hammer. Even living bodies and other things whose existence continues for some time, there is a constant flux of various qualities that are destroyed and replaced by others. In contrast to all of this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead's awareness is never disrupted by anything. Only out of ignorance could one imagine him to be an ordinary human being, subject to material conditions. Mortal beings are covered by their entanglement in fruitive activities and their consequent happiness and distress. But the Supreme Lord cannot be covered by what are in fact his own expansions. Analogously, the immense sun is the source of the relatively insignificant phenomena of clouds, snow, and eclipses, and so it cannot be covered by them, though the ordinary observer may think that it is. Om Gyani Tirmani Seya Ginanjana Shalakaya Sakshamutamina Tasmai Shikrpe Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinam. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vashchatta Deshattarini. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sridhavita Gadada Srivasati Gaurav. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to recap briefly what's taken part here. In Dwarpa Yoga, it stated that Kurukshetra is one of the holy tirthas. It's especially in Dwarpa Yoga. In Kali Yuga, the Ganges is considered the holy place of pilgrimage, one of the most important holy places. But in Treta Yuga, that was considered one of the most, Kurukshetra. In fact, Kuru had plowed that landscape, and he had wanted that holy site to alleviate anyone who dies there to go back to the heavenly planet. He had wanted that. But it stated that Indra said that would not be so. But however, a great battle would take place here. And whoever does not turn his back from that battle, he shall be able to reach this realm. See? So anyhow, at this occasion, there was a great eclipse of the sun, and it's considered very auspicious. So all the inhabitants converged here, along with the great sages, to meet there. And it's noteworthy here too that at this time, Lord Krishna would meet the inhabitants of Vrindavan. After he had left Vrindavan in his childhood pastimes, he never had gone back there. And now he's married and everything. It's many, many years, you can imagine. And we know that the gopis and everything, they were constantly lamenting over his leaving. So this was very significant. If, like when we read in the scriptures, it's fundamental that we kind of reflect on these things, because this is very important, because this was the first meeting after he left, and maybe the last meeting also. I thought there was one more meeting somewhere else, but I can't remember exactly. But this was the meeting with him and the gopis and so forth. Of course, with Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, the cowherd boys and girls and so forth. So this was very essential. And then, of course, we know that Draupadi was conversing with the wives of Krishna about how they got married to him and so forth. And then later on came all the great sages from around the world. In fact, it's stated from different parts of the universe. There were the Shapta Rishis, Atrimuni, Kashyapa, Gautama, Bharadwaj, Vishwamitra, Vashishta, and Jamadagni. Those were the seven great sages. And they're considered universal administrators. And then you had like Vyasadev, Narad, Vyasadev, Asita, and Devala. These are important, and this part is important to know too. Vyasadev, Narad, Asita, and Devala. Anyone remember where these names are mentioned? In the Bhagavad Gita. See? And this seems to like where Arjuna would get his reconfirmation that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. See, if we remember, he said here, Ahustvam Rishaya Sarvi Deva Rishir Naradastata Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Bhavishi Me. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the Supreme Abode and Purifier, the Absolute Truth and the Eternal Divine Force. All the great sages such as Narad, Asita, Devala, and Vyas proclaim this of you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. So this is fundamental to know too, because, you know, I mean, we could have said, well, where did Arjuna got this from? See? And so when these sages were ascertain in the authenticity of Lord Krishna's supremacy. See, this is where Arjuna also got it. And so so now the sages were about to leave. And then Vasudev, Krishna's father, is saying, before you go, tell me what's most important to counteract the fruitive activities of man. And then Narada is the chief spokesman, and he's enunciating here that that performing jagyas. Of course, he explained that jagya to Lord Hari is the foremost. But I think later on it would be stated that he was saying that, well, you have already fulfilled your obligations to your forefathers because you've gotten children, to your forefathers, to your aunts, to the demigods, and to who else? Forefathers, the demigods, and the rishis, right? Yeah. So you fulfill the obligations to the rishis and the forefathers, but not to the demigods. So now we should do a sacrifice. So here that Narada is blatantly saying familiarity breeds contempt, in the sense that Krishna is the son of Vasudeva, but at the same time he is the supreme personality of Godhead. And Vasudeva is asking them for advice, you see? Whereas just by serving Krishna, all your obligations is alleviated. So the example is given here. Familiarity breeds contempt. Just like one who lives at the bank of the Ganges, he goes to far off places to take a bath. See? That's considered very what? Preposterous. Right. So anyhow, one time I was contemplating that, you know, East and West Pakistan, the Eastern Pakistan is now Bangladesh, and they live on the eastern and the western bank of the Ganges. And I used to think, wow, these people are so fortunate, but yet they don't recognize the holiness of the Ganga. You know, and then when they want to go to a holy place or a holy pilgrimage, they go all the way to Mecca, and there is a little well called Zamzam. And I think it's Zamzam, and in there's a little fountain that comes out. And when they go on pilgrimage, they try to get that water, and they would even trample one another to get it. I mean, it's like such a big thing. So in one sense, this is one example of thinking that one lives by the bank of the Ganges and yet go off to a far off place to get some sacred water or sacred bath. And also, there's lots of Christians that live in the East also, but they go way to the Jordan River, and the Ganges is just nearby, you see? So not that, but there's also many inhabitants of Bharatvarsh itself who will ignore the Ganges and go to other places, you see? So this is very fundamental to note. And so Narada is saying here that one is living there, see? And so the good example is that these people, how they would go to far off places to get a holy bath, and whereas the Ganges is just there, take a dip and you're good, see? In fact, you take a bath in the Ganges, you are assured of not at least of a human birth again. See? So this topic on familiarity breeds contempt is very essential. And we can see that not only Vasudev, but also who else? Arjuna. Arjuna was very familiar with Krishna, and he would say, Krishna, bring this thing for me. Or go there. Drive my chariot here. Do this. See? He was ordering Krishna in different ways. And but when he realized that Krishna is the supreme, he says, Yach chava hasartam asatkritosi viharasa yasan bojaneshu. I have in the past addressed you as O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, without knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times while relaxing or while lying on the same bed or eating together, sometimes alone and sometimes in front of many friends. Please excuse me for all my offenses. So this is when Arjuna came to his consciousness. See, then he's begging Krishna for forgiveness because he was in the same situation. Familiarity breeds contempt. And of course we know of the demigods also to some degree taking Krishna to be ordinary. And we know the story of Indra and Brahma. See? And then even the sages, to some degree, also was acting in the same way. See, the gopis. We noticed the part where the gopis were becoming too familiar with Krishna, and then he would disappear. Cowherd boys and cowherd girls. You know how they were. You know, see. So, but this concept not only happens between the Supreme Lord, but it happens between us also. Between parents and children. See, the kids becomes very familiar with the parents. And I would not want to follow their instructions or so. Anyone can give an example of how this is possible? The kids become familiar with the parents and they would ignore their instructions. Husband and wife and husband, both. Guru and disciple. The guru and disciple, sometimes the disciple become familiar, serving the guru, and start to think, well, okay, that this person is just like me. He's eating and sleeping and doing different things just like me. And so sometimes that familiarity is there also. And so we have to be very, very careful of it, see? Because then we commit aparad. And even with devotees, senior devotees, junior devotees, see? Like, I would see Madan Mohan and Pushkar and so forth and probably ignore certain etiquette, see? So we have to be very careful of that, especially Srila Prabhupada's disciples. We of the younger generation have to be very, very cautious and careful, see, not to transgress our etiquette. Like myself and Keshav, we are somewhat friends, but he's an authority, see? And then we might breach our etiquette here again, see? So we have to be very careful of these things, even though I'm speaking in a light manner, but it's important for us, see, not to take things for granted and be too familiar, see, be too familiar, because this is the topic here. Familiarity breeds contempt. And so we jump to the next verse where it's stated here that the Supreme Lord's awareness is never disturbed by time, the creation and destruction of the universes, by causes its own quality or by anything else, whether self-caused or external. The Supreme Lord is not disturbed by time. He said, what did he say? Kalosmi. Kalosmi loka kashaya krit pravrido. Time I am, destroyer of the worlds. And this time bewildered everyone. It bewilders everyone because of its constant moving. And not only that, but in a very deceptive way. Deceptive way. Time takes away everything. Our wealth, our health, our family, everything eventually is taken away by time. See? And over the ages, it bewilders over the ages, because we know within a day of Brahma, there is 1,000 ages. 1,000 ages is 4,320,000 years. And over that time period, all of us are bewildered. Human, scientists, all bewildered. We don't understand how the ages work. And so we become very, very bewildered. And that's why we have all these different theories about how things originate. Because it's astounding to see all these great fossils, what they call dinosaurs and so forth. See? Prehistoric man and Java man and all these things, really. You see? But really, it's because time is bewildering us. In the age of Satya, all the men and all the animals and plants, they were huge, huge bodies. This is confirming the scriptures. So for one who knows the scriptures is not bewildered by this. You see? We're not bewildered. And we don't say dinosaurs and pterosaurs and this and that. You see? They're simply large animals that live at the beginning of creation. And now they have, now we have devolved to small animals, to small things. Man has devolved from 30 feet to 5 feet. And the animals have devolved from hundreds of feet to 10 feet or 5 feet and so forth. See? And this is bewildering to us and to the scientists. And we have to understand this. And Krishna is not bewildered by time. The whole lifetime of Brahma is one of his breath. 311 trillion years, which is the lifetime of Brahma, is a breath of Mahavishnu. See? Manu, so many Manus come and go. 504,000 Manus come and go in an age of Brahma. So many demigods come and go. So many sages come and go. The human beings themselves, so many human, we would take so many birth, come and go. And it's just a breath of Vishnu. So he's not bewildered by time. He's the controller of time. He's time itself. See? So it's stated here that the Lord is not bewildered by time, nor he is bewildered by the modes of nature. He's not bewildered by the modes of nature. Daivihi esha guna maya mama maya duratya. This divine energy of mind consisted of the three modes. It's difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. So the modes of nature are his energies, and he controls the modes of material nature. So how can he become bewildered by these things? See? So that's what the sages are saying here, that he is not bewildered by these things. And in the fourth verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is the sustainer and the destructor of the manifested universes. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. By him, the material universe is temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature. So he controls all these things. And so the sages are saying here again, the Supreme Lord's awareness is never disturbed by time, by the creation and destruction of the universe, by changes in its own qualities, by anything else, whether self-caused or external. But all of this consciousness of the personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme One without a second, is never affected by material distress, by the reactions of material work, or by the constant flow of nature's modes. Ordinary persons nonetheless think that the Lord is covered by his own creations of prana and other material elements, just as one may think that the sun is covered by clouds, snow, or the eclipse. The sun formed the clouds, it's the cause of the snow and the eclipses and so forth. To our vision, it's covered. To our vision, the cloud covers the sun, but the sun is never covered. The cloud can never cover the sun. So the sun is this vast expanse of light. So the cloud temporarily covers our vision of the sun, and we're thinking, oh, the sun is covered. So similarly, even when the Lord comes as Krishna here, we think he's affected by the material modes or by time or whatever else, illusion. It's not so. The Lord is always aware of his position, even as a baby, and we've seen it. As baby Krishna, he's done so many superhuman activities, killed so many demons, did so many things, spoke the Bhagavad Gita and so forth. So he's not bewildered in any way. See? So, the sages are reaffirming the supreme position of Krishna. And so we should also hold this, attest to his greatness and his supremeness. And I'll stop here. I don't know if there's any realizations, comments, or questions. Dhamraj Prabhu.
You were talking about the size of beings in the earlier ages. So I just want to make reference to one discovery they found in India lately. Not sure, maybe within the last year. They found a fossil somewhere that the air was as large as a human being, and they were attesting that to be Ghatotkacha, so Bhima's son.
Yeah, so, yeah, I saw something like that too. A very huge, huge.
Anyway, you were talking about Arjuna being familiar with Krishna and instructing him to go here or do that. After that conversation. So after that conversation of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna came back to his understood his position with Krishna, and then they started a war. But during the war, we find that Arjuna, I don't know.
Yeah.
So he was instructing Krishna, go here, do that, and give him left and right. So how can we reconcile that?
Yeah, we can see it in two ways. And one is that he was covered again by the energy so that he can act in that position. That's one way. And then the other way that Krishna gave him the authority to do it. So we can see it in this two way, but especially in the way that he was, you know, some of the acharyas explained that he was momentarily covered. That's one way of seeing it. But it's a very good question. Yeah, because I know when I said that somebody would bring up that point, really, that that he was asking Krishna to go there and there because he had already heard a Bhagavad Gita. So he should have known better. So this is the two answers. I don't know if you want to
Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that Arjuna was following Krishna's instruction, he was fully surrendered and he was following. So he didn't have time on the battlefield to offer obeisances and perform worship of his worship of the Lord. But he was following Krishna's instruction to fight, and therefore he had to instruct his charioteer, who was the Supreme Lord. So
yeah.
I just want to bring out that side of it.
Very good. Very good. And and just to refer back to the point that you were making with Gatapacha, or they were saying that, but usually what happens, like all the warriors that were killed in the battlefield, it's stated that Yudhishthir made sure that they were all born. They were given the proper sacrificial. And that is why you would hardly find huge human remains within the earth, because most of the beings, the humans on the human platform, were following Vedic culture, and they would cremate the body. So it's difficult to find, huge bodies of humans in the past ages. But they wouldn't do that for animals, so that's why they would find animal bodies, huge bodies, you see? So this is the way to look at it too. And of course, so even though they might say that as Gatakachi could be another demon or something in the past, because I don't think they would actually cremate the demons in, past, but at least human beings and so forth. Any other points yes, Prabhu?
You're mentioning familiarity breeds contempt. Prabhupada warned us about two different instances. You mentioned the one with the spiritual master, we must be careful, and the other one was with the deities. So all pujaris have to be very careful not to get too familiar.
That's true. And I was thinking not only the pujari, but even us too, When we come to the deities, we have to be very careful also, show proper etiquette and so forth. Very good. Yeah, very good. Any other points from the Mataji side? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Please.